In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The story I would like to share with you today, the thing that caught my imagination this week, is the surprising parallel I see between Saul, whom we know as St. Paul, and what I saw in the national news this past week. Now, Saul is not just some law enforcement officer, even though he did obtain an arrest warrant through official channels. We know from elsewhere that Saul is a brilliant and privileged scholar, but that isn't what we see playing out in our first reading today either. Instead, our reading begins with Saul, quote, breathing threats and murder. Threats and murder. Words have power. And words never exist in a vacuum. Words exist in a community of conversation. Now, that community may be a family or a group of coworkers. It might be a school or a church. It might be drinking buddies or the members of a particular club. It might be an online message board or an informal community linked by the chains of the emails they pass. But it is in community that words are tried out, and they're repeated, and they're embraced and legitimized. And the ends to which those words lead can be radically different depending on the words that are chosen. I almost felt like I was physically assaulted this week as report after report of violence, actual and threatened, rolled in through the news. Right? It started when I was standing right here in this church building last Saturday, waiting for service to start, and Deacon John told me about the shooting at Chabad Poway Synagogue in San Diego. Again. The shooter there had been shaped by a community of anti-Semitic words and ideas. The next day, a U.S. Army veteran was arrested by undercover officers as he prepared to bomb a rally protesting white nationalism. He too existed within a community of words and ideas that perceived that rally as, if not a threat, then maybe an insult or a challenge. And it goes on. In our first reading from Acts, Saul exists within a community that feels deeply threatened by this new Christian movement. And you can tell the depths of the feeling in that community, the extremes of rhetoric, by Saul's response, by his emotional engagement, the way he attends a lynching in Jerusalem and then scrambles down the dusty road from Jerusalem to Damascus, all the while breathing threats and murder. Saul is another one of those guys that we read about in the news. And he's a religious zealot to boot. If he was a Muslim, that arrest warrant from the high priest we would have called a fatwa, and the media would refer to him as a terrorist. It's only if we claim him as our own, you know, good old St. Paul, that maybe we'll let him pass with a little bit of white privilege and go easy on the condemnation because, you know, he turns out all right in the end. But Ananias knew better, didn't he? That's why when God told Ananias to go help out poor blind Saul, Ananias had the audacity to talk back to God, to say, "What are you thinking?" Because in our reading today, Saul is no saint. He is a force of evil. Words of threat and murder empower young men like Saul to go out and hurt people, to tear apart families, to preside at lynchings, and all because Saul and the others in his echo chamber have chosen to label someone as different or other, because they worship God differently than we do. And for that, supposedly, they deserve to die. It's the story of Israel's genocidal conquest of Canaan in the book of Deuteronomy. It's the story of the Crusades and the Inquisition. It's the story of colonialism, manifest destiny, American slavery, Jim Crow, and the current epidemic of mass incarceration that falls so disproportionately on men and boys of color. It's the story of anti-Semitism, white nationalism, anti-Muslim prejudice, and the dehumanization of migrants and refugees. It's the story of mass shootings coming fast and thick across our news feeds, and no one seems to be able to figure out anything to do about it. It's the story of racist jokes and conversations that are allowed to stand without objection. It is the story of movies that glorify violence and the portrayal of one group as more noble than another. It is the story of memes and texts and email threads and social media posts that continue to get passed around, legitimizing and encouraging ever more debased ideas and ideologies until finally someone gets shot. Saul's words of threats and murder did not exist in a vacuum. The words that influenced the acts of violence and mayhem this week did not exist in a vacuum. They were part of an ongoing conversation for the Chabad Poway Synagogue, perhaps a conversation that began with a mildly anti-Semitic comment and culminated in the slaughter of people in the midst of their prayers last Saturday. They are the words that we hear and overhear every day, and we get to decide what our role is going to be in those conversations. The purpose of church, the reason that we gather in community, is to help each of us to make that decision based on what we hear Jesus speaking into our lives. When Saul encountered Jesus, Saul turned his whole life around and started participating in a different set of conversations. And we can do that too. The church is a community of conversation that is different from the dividing, condemning, violence-advocating words that sell so many newspapers and movie tickets around us. And as we participate in that alternative conversation, as we learn to hear Jesus speaking new words into our lives, we, like Saul, learn to speak new words into the world around us. We take steps to counter all the prejudice and exclusion, the words of death that we encounter around us. And we counter those words with a message of welcome. We take the welcome that we have received from God and we make it explicit, specific to others so that they can know that is for them as well. That's the purpose of that paragraph that so many of you have commented upon in our bulletin. St. Thomas welcomes all, regardless of age, abilities, physical or mental health, ethnicity, sexual orientation or gender identity, income, education, political affiliation, or faith commitment. The things which bind us are greater than the things that separate us, and the love of God is greater than all our divisions. There are many conversations going on in the world around us today. And your words have influence. You get to choose which words you're going to help perpetuate and which to leave behind. May God's words shine in each of us so that instead of all the drama and the noise of politics and commerce and violence blinding us to the presence of God, May the words of God fill us, such that our eyes and our ears and our hearts may be drawn first of all to the kingdom of God, and every other thing only through the lens of God's kingdom. May our words be words of life, the words of God, because our words have power, and God has entrusted that power to us.